Good morning. For those who may be joining us online, welcome. We know we have a number of our online Granite Bay members. And as you can see, the things are a little different in the background because we're in a time of transition right now. There's some construction taking place. Also, this is a special Sabbath in that this is our communion Sabbath. And my message today is going to be the second part in a series we began last week, talking about the keys to Christian growth. And so the message will be a little shorter, but I think we'll have adequate time to both cover the subject and still provide time for the Lord's Supper and the communion service. You know, in talking about Christian growth, I want to make it clear that knowledge is not growth. Knowledge is important. But gaining more knowledge, going to more seminars, reading more books, understanding more principles does not constitute Christian growth. You can have all of that and not be growing spiritually. Real Christian growth is growing to be more Christ-like and having the fruits of the Spirit in your life. And we'll be talking about that. Now, I've got a little assignment for the kids. If I've got a challenge, I'm curious, how many times during this sermon I'm going to say the word grow or growth? You might jot that down and let me know afterward, because I think it's going to come up more than once. We talked last week about there are seven ways a baby grows. We're very thankful that we have babies in our church. That's a sign of new life and growth. And if a baby, and babies don't worry about growing, do they? If they do, they've never told us. But babies grow by simply taking within. Growth happens because of something going on the inside. They take within them the food, the air, they exercise, they have family, they get regular cleaning, there's rest, and there's love. And we've talked about some of these things, and we're going to pick up where we left off. I'd like to begin by just sharing a little amazing fact. You know we like amazing facts here. Bristlecone pine that you find in the White Mountains of California is the longest living tree in the world. And dendrochronologists have done a couple of core samples, and they found one that they believe was over 5,000 years old. Now, they can't always tell exactly, because the lines in the tree might sometimes be caused by several changes in one season, but generally they represent a year. And they have some of these trees, they think, that date back about 5,000 years. The interesting thing is, as old as these trees are, they don't get very tall. They grow very slowly. A 20-year-old ponderosa pine is taller than a 2,000-year-old bristlecone pine. Now, how are you growing as a Christian? Are you a ponderosa or a bristlecone? The Lord wants us to grow, and He wants us to bear fruit. And the Bible tells us in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, "But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory both now and forever." I want to make it clear, you can be a Christian in one day. You can be a Christian in 10 minutes. You can be justified very quickly by accepting Jesus and understanding that commitment. But growth is something that is going to take time. It's something that happens in a process the Lord has naturally built into our lives. We call it the process of sanctification. But some people accept Christ and then they don't do the growing part. A.W. Tozer said, "Some people find themselves in religious ruts. They find they're getting older, but they're not getting holier. Time is their enemy, not their friend." And so just because you've been a Christian a long time does not mean you're growing in Christ. So it's so crucial that we grow in sanctification. Let me quickly review the first three keys that we talked about that are important for a baby to grow. First of all, we grow by eating good food. What is the food? It's the Word of God. Man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word. Do you feast on the Word? Jesus said, "Give us this day our daily bread." Do you, on a regular basis, read His Word? 1 Peter 2:2 says, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. That can't be misunderstood. If you want to grow, you need to be feeding on the word of God. Not only is it called milk, the word of God is called meat, it's called honey. The law of the Lord is like the honey in the honeycomb. So are you reading the Bible? Do you have regular devotions? Another way a baby grows is by breathing. What does the breathing represent? It's prayer. Prayer is the breath of the soul. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. You have been breathing without ceasing. Not, you haven't ceased for very long. Ask me how I know that. Because you wouldn't be alive. Your whole life, you've been breathing. And in order for a baby to grow, they need to breathe. I was surprised when I was reading in the Spirit of Prophecy that there's a right way to breathe and a wrong way to breathe. Did you know that? Some people, breathing is shallow. I thought that, you know, you just breathe. If you're alive, you must be breathing. But there's a wrong way you can breathe. People ought to breathe deeply, and you ought to breathe good air. Amen? Pray without ceasing. Walk with God. 3, we grow by exercise. A baby, if they just handcuffed in a crib, they're not going to grow. They wiggle and they scoot and they move, and we're so excited when they finally roll over and they get into the combat crawl and start doing that lunge forward. Finally, they get up on all four and we're just praising them. We're so excited. And when they can take a few steps on 2 feet, through all that exercise and activity, it helps them grow. And part of the wiggling and the squirming is part of the growing process. Don't be afraid if sometimes the growing is slow, but be afraid of standing still. Have you ever seen kids? It's like they don't grow. I know Daniel. He was so short until he, you know, got to be like 13, and then he just shot up, and now he's about 6 feet. And so sometimes the growth happens in spurts. Have you seen that? I was looking at a picture yesterday. You know, Donald Trump and Melania have their son together. Can't remember his name. Barron, yeah. And they just showed a picture of him getting out of the helicopter with his father. He's taller than Donald Trump now. He is just a beanpole. He is. He's got a tall mother. But it's like he grew 2 feet in a year. And you know something else about growing? You ever have growing pains? I remember one of our kids just aching, and knees were hurting, and my grandmother told me an old wives' tale that if you tie a sock around the ankle, it helps. And it seemed to work. I don't know if it was the placebo effect, but we did it anyway. But growing pains. But to grow, you need to exercise. Now, we're taking up where we left off last week, and I've just got 4 more here. In order to grow, we need to be connected with a family. God designed that babies are not born out in the woods like mushrooms. They are born into families where they have a mother and a father, and they get the nurture, and we need the social relationship. Acts 2:42, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, breaking bread and in prayers. They were together in fellowship. If you want to grow, you cannot be a maverick Christian just out there on your own. Now, there's some people, because of the geography and the culture they're in, the Christianity is not allowed, and God will sustain them, but it is so much better when you can fellowship with other believers. It helps you prevent becoming eccentric. Take it from someone who lived in a cave. They used to have these aesthetics, and they thought in order to be holy, you must be isolated from all people. And like Simon Stylite, he lived up on a pillar by himself because he was trying to stay away from the people so he wouldn't be contaminated or something, or be holier, could think more about God without distractions. There are days that sounds appealing, doesn't it? I'd like to, like David said, if I could just make wings like a bird and fly away, be by myself, and I could be close to God. And none of the temptations, not none, but none of the typical temptations that come from being in the world. But Jesus didn't call us to be isolated. He says he wants us to be together. Hebrews 10:24. And let us consider one another. Notice that phrase. In order to stir up love and good works. How do we do that? By being together. not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. It was a problem even back in Paul's day where people were neglecting to assemble together. And what's the most important time in the week to assemble together? Sabbath day. It's okay to get together in small groups. We should be doing it through the week. But the Sabbath is called a holy convocation. That word there, Leviticus 23, means a convening, an assembly, a coming together. And, you know, it happens slowly. People, they miss one week and say, I was really tired, so I slept this one in. You know, God knows I needed rest. And then you find out they make it 2 or 3 weeks, and then they miss 2 weeks. And then they make it for 2 weeks, then they miss 3 weeks. It doesn't happen quickly. But they start missing, and then, you know, then you're really at risk if we don't have that time together. I think over 140 times in the Bible, New and Old Testament, you will find the phrase, one another. I did just a clinical computer search on it, and it was about 146 times. One another, one another, one another. In the New Testament, it says, love one another, serve one another, comfort one another. It's really hard for you to be doing all that by yourself. Isn't that right? So we need to be spending time together. You know why? To grow and also for your own safety. You know, when the devil gets the sheep, like a wolf, is when they're on the fringes of the flock and he can pick them off. There was a curse pronounced by Moses on Amalek. You know why? Because Amalek, when the children of Israel crossed the Red Sea and they came out, and they were young, and they were old, and they were weak, and they were strong, and the Amalekites attacked. Let me read it to you. Deuteronomy 25:18. Amalek attacked your rear ranks, all the stragglers at your rear, the weak ones on the fringes. If you want to be safe, you want to be off there in the middle. I'm fascinated with the way that these emperor penguins survive in Antarctica. It is the most blistering cold. That's an oxymoron, isn't it? The weather is just brutal, 60 below zero. And all of those, the male penguins are pretty dedicated, you know. The female lays an egg, plops it on his feet. And then all the males, they put the egg under their belly fat. Man, if you're looking for a scripture for your belly fat, there's at least one in nature. But they put the egg under their belly fat and they keep it warm, up to 100 degrees. They keep the egg 100 degrees, even though it's 60 below zero. The way they do that is they keep it off the ice on their feet, they cover it with themselves, and they huddle together, and they all rotate in the middle. They're all fighting to get in the middle of the huddle, because then you're protected from the elements. Fish, why do they swim in a school? Because they're weak by themselves. But when they're in a school, they can dazzle and daze their predator enemies, and they don't know which one to focus on. And if I was a fish, if I was a sardine, have you ever thought about this? If I was a sardine, I'd be looking for the middle of the school, wouldn't you? And if you want to be safe from the devil, get in the middle of the church. Get involved. Get right out in the middle of it. Get elbow deep in the dishes or whatever you got to do, potluck. But get in the middle. And we need one another. If you want to grow as a baby, stay in a family. Key number 5, rest. Some people think, how do you grow by resting? That's a fact. You need rest to grow. Dr. Kara Natterson, pediatrician, graduate of Johns Hopkins and Harvard, said, for children, sleep is critical as an ingredient to good growth. A lot of the growing, your body is not stagnant when you're sleeping. It's actually very active. A lot of processes going on. There's repairing that's going on. There's cell multiplication that's going on. You're growing. And they've actually shown that growth can be stunted by a lack of rest. Healing can be hampered by a lack of rest. So to grow, we need rest. Psalm 37:7. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Every Sabbath day, I hope we do some growing spiritually. And I hope we do some resting. And I hope we're growing while we're resting. It's not just talking about sleep. Jesus wants us to rest in faith. Matthew 6:27. Which of you by worrying can add a cubit to his stature? Can you worry yourself taller? So one of the things to do to grow as a Christian is trust the Lord that you will grow. You know, you get what you believe. The Bible says, be it unto you according to your faith. So after I did the first message on growth, some of you probably came away feeling guilty because you haven't grown more. Trust that if you do the things that you're saying you're going to grow, babies don't worry about growing. But they do receive the things that we're talking about. You need to breathe. You ever see a baby, sweet baby, in its parents' arms? They got complete trust. I noticed little Micah, when he went from dad's arms to my arms, he lost faith. He started going, who's this? So if you're in your father's arms, you need to rest. Have faith. Mark 11, verse 22, Jesus answered and said, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them. Trust God. Rest in his promises. And he said, you will have them. If you're worried about not growing, ask God to move that mountain and help you start growing and believe that he will. Faith will lead to answered prayer, and answered prayer will lead to greater faith. That's the way it works. If your faith is small, you say, oh, Lord, I've just got a little faith. There was a man that came to Jesus one day and said, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And Jesus could answer that prayer. He healed his son. Key number six, I came out with seven keys here to growing as a Christian, is you need regular cleansing. A baby, as cute as they are, do need an occasional cleansing. Amen? They don't worry about it. They trust that their parents are going to help them with that. Sometimes they worry if it doesn't happen quick enough and you'll hear about it. Some don't care so much. 1 John 1:8, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we've not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So as soon as we recognize that we've fallen, confess it quickly. Someone said you keep short accounts with the Lord. Don't let your guilt and shame pile up. As soon as you recognize that you've slipped or fallen, bring it to the Lord. Ask him to heal, to forgive, to cleanse, and his promise is he will. Amen? Confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another. You know, this is, again, part of that church family, is that there's strength in intercession with each other for that cleansing. And then point number seven is you grow in love. You know, children actually grow better in a loving environment. And we grow in the love of God. I remember reading about this great Greek hero of the Olympics. His name was Milo of Croton. And they said he was the strongest man who had ever lived. And he could put a pomegranate in his hand, is one of the many legends. And any other man could try to take the pomegranate out of his hand, and they couldn't even damage the pomegranate because his hand was so strong. They said that he was so strong that he could put a metal band on his head. He'd tighten his muscles. He could pop it off his head with just the veins. I said it was a legend. Supposedly, you know how he got so strong? When he was a teenager, he was given a calf. And he loved the calf, and he picked the calf up, and he put it on his shoulders every day and carried it around. And he did that for 4 years. Every day he'd hoist the calf. He was growing, and as a teenager, and the calf was growing. And pretty soon he was known as the boy who could pick up a bull and carry it around. And he entered the Olympics, and he won for 9 years as the best wrestler. At least that's the story. So, love, practicing, exercising love makes you grow to be more like Christ. Now, how many of you want more love? Do you develop more love by living on an island by yourself? No. Love must be shared to be experienced. That's one reason that in order for God to have been eternal God, God needed to be the three persons. Because how can God be love and have no one to love? But if God is the only one that is eternal, in order for him to be eternal God, there must be more than one person, or you can't express your love. Did you get that? That makes sense? But the Father, Son, and Spirit are eternal. In order for us to love, it must be expressed. If you say, Lord, give me more love, well, let me say it differently so you know where I'm going. If you say, Lord, give me more patience, what will the Lord give you? Delay. Because it is through delay, you don't develop patience by getting everything right on time. Isn't that right? So if you say, give me love, God is going to put you in touch with some people that will grow your love muscles. And yes, your love can grow. And you might wonder, why am I going through these trials? God says, I'm growing your love. And God will give us opportunity to practice our love for each other. In the last days, one of the problems is that people's love is not growing. Notice Matthew 24:12. Because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow the wrong way. It grows cold. So love can grow. It can grow warm and it can grow cold. 2 Thessalonians 1:3, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly and the love of every one of you abounds towards each other. There's a beautiful example. And I can repeat again, Ephesians 4:15. But speaking the truth in love, that we may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ. When I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, 1 Corinthians 13. But when I became a man, now how'd you go from child to man? You grew. And you grow in your love. And he says, now abides faith, hope, love, these three. But what's the greatest? Greatest of these is love. God is love. And the most beautiful thing of Christ we can imitate is his love. So in conclusion, I want to ask, how do you know if you're growing? I mean, does God give us a Bible metric? He says, examine yourselves if you're in the faith. Well, do you know by the fruits? Jesus said, you'll know them by their fruits, and you'll have the fruits of the Spirit. I've got 7 questions you can ask. For one thing, Jesus came to save you from your sin. Does sin in your life have dominion over you? Are you addicted to anything other than Jesus? You can't be a healthy Christian, plain and simple. I don't mean the occasional moral failure. The Bible says, for there is none that does not sin. What we're talking about is where Paul says, sin shall not have dominion over you. Hebrews 12:1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight in the sin that so easily ensnares us. How do we do this? We run the race by fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Pray that God will give you victory. Second point, have you forgiven others? Are you growing? Have you forgiven others that hurt you? Are you easily offended? Do you nurse a grudge? Do you stay bitter? Do you think about vengeance? You're growing as a Christian when you can quickly slough off offenses. Ephesians 4:32, be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake has forgiven you. How does he want us to forgive? As Jesus forgave us. Growth means we're growing to be like Christ. Point 3, are you sharing your faith? Part of growth means to share it. Jesus said, if anyone is ashamed of me and my words in this adulterous generation, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him. But if you confess me, I will confess you. And so don't be afraid to confess to others, to testify that you're a Christian. If you want more information, great place to stick in a commercial. Amazing Facts has a lot of stuff you can use to share your faith. Everybody can do something. Amen? That's a sign of growth. Are you bearing the fruits of the Spirit? Are you new creatures? Galatians 5:22 has some of the best definition. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace. Do you have these in your life? Long-suffering, that's patience. Kindness, are you kind? Goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Peter puts it this way, 2 Peter 1, verse 5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, Add to your faith virtue. Notice there's an addition happening here. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. This is a progression as you get the knowledge, and then you gain self-control. To self-control, perseverance. To perseverance, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. To brotherly kindness, love. For if these things are yours and they abound, you will be neither barren or unfruitful. You want to be fruitful? Then ask by God's grace and through His Spirit to add the Christian virtues that you can imitate Jesus. Test number 5, do you have regular time with God in prayer and the study of His Word? Good time with God is not found, it's made. You got to choose to make it. You're not just, if you're waiting for it to happen on its own, it doesn't work that way. Set aside time with God. 1 Timothy 4:13, till I come, give attention to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. 1 Thessalonians, as I read before, pray without ceasing. Daniel, 3 times a day, as his custom was, he knelt and he prayed and he studied God's word. 6, are you generous towards God and man? This is a test. You can sometimes tell if a person's growing by their faith and their generosity. Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruit of all of your increase. Were you faithful in tithes and offerings? Do you care about others in need? Proverbs 28, 27, he who gives to the poor will not lack, but he who hides his eyes will have many curses. So we want to be growing in our generosity and trusting God. Are we cheerful givers? Number 7, are you experiencing spiritual growth? Looking back over the past, can you identify progress? Do you see where you are tested? And by God's grace, you were winning. Now, sometimes in Christian life, you almost feel like you take 2 steps forward, and then you take a step back. But then you take 2 steps forward, and you see you're making progress. And so, do you see that you're growing? Things that, where you used to fall, or you're easily perturbed, are you becoming more patient? Are you becoming more loving? You're becoming more kind, more generous. You know, don't get too discouraged if you fall. It's not one thing. There's a great quote in the book Steps to Christ, page 57. The character is not revealed by the occasional good deed or occasional misdeed, but by the tendency of the habitual words and actions. What is your character? It's defined by what your habitual actions are. Now, the beautiful thing is, everybody today can experience growth in saying, Lord, I want to renew my commitment to you. And that's part of the reason we have the Lord's Supper. It's a renewing of the covenant of receiving the cleansing of the bread, taking Christ inside, the grape juice, washing in his blood. And you can begin that now. He wants us to remember that. Why did Jesus ask us to remember the Lord's Supper and the ordinance of humility? Because he knows to grow, we need to be reminded. That's why we have a Sabbath every week. We need to remember he's our creator and our sanctifier. We tend to forget, so we renew our commitment. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. You know, I heard something interesting on the news yesterday that I remember in 1963, I was pretty young, but I remember in our school, someone came in and they said the president was shot. And I thought the only president I knew was our class president. I turned around, saw her sitting there, and I couldn't understand what they were talking about. And then I remember vividly, it seemed like a whole day, that all I saw on my dad's television was a coffin with a flag. And some of you remember that. If you were alive then, everyone seems to remember that day. Or you might remember the day that the space shuttle blew up, or 9/11, or these things. That was one of the days that really stood out in American history. What they said on the news yesterday is that they've taken the pink watermelon dress that Jackie Onassis was wearing that day as she sat by her husband. He was shot. And they've put it in archives in a specially controlled environment, and nobody is going to see it. until at least 2303. The family didn't want anyone who's still alive to be hurt by the painful memory of that dress. They're not going to auction it. They've given it to the National Archives. And it's a very interesting story because after the president was shot and Jackie Kennedy went to the hospital and she was waiting for word, she still had her husband's blood on her dress and on her legs and on her blouse. And they said, we've got, you know, a wardrobe we brought with us. Let's change. She said, I don't want to change. And then after he was pronounced dead, they ushered her off to Air Force One, and Lyndon Johnson was there on Air Force One to be sworn in as the next president. And they said, Mrs. Kennedy, you really need to change. He says, I'm not going to change. She said, I want everyone to see the blood. I want them to see what they did to my husband. She didn't want them to forget. And she wore it all the way back from Texas to the White House that day. You know, Jesus doesn't want us to forget the blood. He wants us to remember what his sacrifice cost, what our sins cost him. So whenever we celebrate the Lord's Supper, if you've been taking sin too lightly, remember what it cost. It cost the blood of God's Son. And this is an opportunity to show our appreciation for that sacrifice by accepting it, asking him to cleanse us, give us a new beginning. If we have aught against any brother or sister, then put those things away. Be reconciled. And then it makes a way for the moving of the Spirit in your life, in our church, and we will see Christian growth. Amen? Father in heaven, we're just so thankful for the opportunity we have to grow to become more like Jesus. We are so thankful for the incredible, incomprehensible sacrifice you made, loving us so much that you'd send your Son that we might be washed in the blood of the Lamb and be made white and pure again. Help us to all have that experience of new birth today. And then from this point on, I pray that we can grow as quickly as possible into the image of your Son. We thank you and ask in his name. Amen.
We've come to a very special part of this communion service where we partake in the bread and the grape juice. It is a continual reminder of Christ and his sacrifice, his broken body on the cross, his blood that was shed for our cleansing, for our forgiveness. And just as we have to eat the bread, we have to break it, we have to chew it, as we drink the grape juice, we absorb the benefits, the nutrients from the food, and we grow. So likewise, if we are to grow spiritually, it is receiving Jesus. It's making personal his sacrifice that he has made for us. And so at this time, I'd like to invite you just to bow your heads as we have a special word of prayer. Dear Father, once again, we are so grateful for the opportunity that we have to be able to gather together and celebrate this special service, a service that was given to us by Christ himself. A service that continually reminds us of your love and the great gift that was made for our forgiveness, for our cleansing. So, Father, we ask you to draw close to us, speak to our hearts, impress upon us anything that we need to let go of or give to you, that through this service we might be cleansed and restored and have the peace and the joy of knowing your grace. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I've asked if Elder John Freed would share with us briefly what the bread symbolizes and what it means to him. And then following that, we'll have Elder Darren D. that'll share briefly what the grape juice represents and what it means to him. And then we'll kneel here on the platform. We'll ask the blessing on the bread and the grape juice. And at that point, you can just remain seated. The deacons will come and we will serve you.
The bread is the body of Christ. And when I was thinking about the bread, I thought, what is bread made out of? Now, growing up, I used to like to make pancakes, and I'd get pancake batter and water. But you know, in the Bible, it was made out of two different constituents. It was made out of flour and oil. If you think of the widow who fed the bread to Elisha, She had a little bit of oil, and then she had some flour. So the bread in the Bible, biblically, is flour and oil. So I looked that up in Scripture. I went to Leviticus 5, verse 11, and it says, "But if he is not able to bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons, then he who sinned shall bring for his offering 1/10 of an ephah of fine flour as a sin offering. He shall put no oil in it, nor shall he put frankincense on it, for it is a sin offering." So what bread is without oil is just flour. I think flour is symbolic for humanity. And Christ was humanity. Christ was flour, but he had the Holy Spirit. He had oil as well. And Christ was the quintessential example for us of our lives of somebody that had humanity but was dependent upon God. He was dependent upon the oil as well to make him into Christ that could be the sacrifice for mankind. So as we think about the bread today, think about Christ as the ultimate example for us, not just in his sacrifice for us, but also in his life for us, how he lived life and how he was fully dependent on his Father to have the oil as part of his humanity in order to become that full and complete example for us.
In the sanctuary service, the Israelites, on their daily service, they would bring in a little innocent lamb, pure, sweet, no idea, but they would have to bring this little lamb in to the altar and sacrifice it. They would have to actually, obviously, spill its blood in order to atone for our sins. And the blood of countless animals flowed for a long time for the forgiveness of many, many sins. Everything in that sanctuary points to Jesus and his upcoming sacrifice for all of us. You know, the grape juice that we're going to partake of here, this grape, as beautiful and perfect as a fruit as it is, it needs to be broken for us to be able to get the nutrients, for us to be able to enjoy the contents, for it to be assimilated into our own body. And in the same way, Jesus had to be broken for our trespasses, for the sins of the world, and for his blood to atone for our many sins. Now, like the bread, it needed to be unleavened. Unleavened, or leaven, is a symbol for sin. And in the same way, the grape juice needs to be unfermented. Only the unspoiled fruit of the vine, the unfermented wine, appropriately symbolizes the spotless perfection of the cleansing blood of the Savior. While sharing the communion cup, Jesus committed the new covenant to his disciples. He said, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood for the new covenant, which is shed for many of the remission of sins," Matthew 26. As the old covenant was ratified by the blood of animal sacrifices in the old sanctuary service, so the new covenant was ratified by Christ's blood at Calvary. He, Jesus, was our ultimate and final sacrifice for us. And at the cross, the eternal innocent Savior was substituted for the guilty, for us, and the righteous for the unrighteous. And this magnanimous act satisfied the demands of the law for the death of the sinner, providing forgiveness, peace, and the assurance of eternal life to repentant sinners. The cross removed our condemnation and provided us with the robe of Christ's pure righteousness. By faith as Christians, we are to live in peace and joy, having received the assurance of being cleansed by the blood of the Savior. Let us receive and celebrate the redeeming love of Jesus as we partake in the cup today.
At this time, those of us here on the platform and our deacons will kneel as we ask God's blessing on the bread, and then immediately following that on the grape juice, we invite you just to bow your heads.
Our dear Heavenly Father,
Lord, thank you for sending your Son to die for us and to live for us. Lord, help us to look to him daily for salvation and look to him for example in our lives as well, each and every day. Help us to partake of Scripture, which is the Word of God. Help us to take it into our bodies and assimilate it and become more and more like Christ. Lord, help us to have an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in our minds and our hearts and our lives so that we can fully reflect Christ's character as we prepare for your return. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can spend with you. We humbly come before you. And Lord, we ask for your forgiveness of our trespasses against you, of how we have forgotten you and how we have hurt you. And Lord, we just continue to thank you so much for your continual blessing, for your love, for your mercy, and for the sacrifice and the gift of Jesus. Enable us when we are unable, Lord. Help us when we cannot lift, when we cannot help ourselves, and save us as we cannot save ourselves. Jesus' sacrifice is the greatest act of love this world has ever seen. And now as we partake of this juice and this bread, bless this cup, which symbolizes the atoning blood of Jesus. Give us a new heart, a consecrated heart, so that we may do your will completely in our lives. You are raising up an army of saints to finish the work and bring us home soon. Prepare us, Lord, and help us. And we thank you again, Lord, for all your blessings, your cleansing, and for your mercy, and for your forgiveness, and for your love. We ask all these things in your name. Amen.
Of course, it pointed to what Christ was about to do for our salvation, but it was special because Jesus was gathered with his friends, with those that he loved in a very special way. And the wonderful part about being part of a church family is that we're friends. More than friends, in Christ's eyes, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We bear one another's burdens, we pray for one another, we encourage one another, we lift one another up. And so while the bread and the grape juice is being handed out this morning, we've invited two of our family members here in our Granite Bay Church congregation to share a testimony as to how God has answered their prayer in a very special way. And so I'd like to invite Pastor Luke to please come on forward. I think many of you know who Pastor Luke is. He is a member of our church, but he's also a pastor for 40 years in full-time ministry. He still assists with Amazing Facts, but several months ago, come on up, Pastor Luke, he shared with us the news that both he and then his wife were both diagnosed with cancer. We had a special anointing service for both of them. And I know we were praying and some of us were fasting for special healing. And he's going to respond to those prayers. God responded to those prayers. And Pastor Luke is going to share a little bit of how things are going.
Brothers and sisters. Is it on? Brothers and sisters, I wished I knew every one of you by name. But the last 2 years have not been easy. I've been here, but hasn't been the normal type of life that I'm used to. 2 years ago, at my annual check, it was found that my PSA points were 3 points higher than before, and so the primary care man said, I'm going to send you to the urologist. The urologist took 18 specimens and said, because of your age, we better give you a PET scan. And the PET scan, when that came back, it showed stage 4 lymphoma, as big as my fist, between my diaphragm and backbone, and stage 2 prostate. And so I was hit with 2 at once. And so immediately, of course, we notified the pastors and had an anointing. And to our family and close friends, we put the word out in special prayer. And it says in Ministry of Healing 231, 232, those who seek healing by prayer should not neglect to make use of the remedial agencies within their reach. It is not a denial of faith to use such remedies as God has provided to alleviate pain and to aid nature in her work of restoration. Immediately, there was a change. Even though I'd been a vegetarian for 62 years, now it became vegan real fast. And I was encouraged, and I felt impressed that medical field has made great strides in some treatment, and I was not impressed to ignore that. I was just impressed to go through the steps with chemo for several sessions, 6 months, and then radiation for 39 sessions, which was just short of, over 7 weeks, I guess. And on my last treatment, it was followed immediately the next day by my wife's surgery for her cancer. So it was bang and immediate. Of course, she was anointed as well. But through all of this, I did not struggle too much. I was here most every Sabbath. I felt nothing really different happening. But my wife, I cannot say that. She had a very tough time, and there were a couple of times that both my daughter and I felt that she was very close to the end. But through it all, we never gave up, and we could sense and have just almost a feeling that things were going to be okay. We felt like we were being uplifted, and it's because we know that it's because of the prayers of our family, church family, and friends, and we thank you so much. Just 4 weeks ago, we were both declared cancer clear. God.
Thank you, Pastor Luke. It's powering prayer, amen? But you know, we've been blessed. Not only do we have a wonderful answer to prayer, as Pastor Luke has shared, but there's also been another family that we have been lifting up in prayer. And in particular, a little boy. We'd like to invite the Darson family to come forward. And Brian Darson is part of our Amazing Facts team. And I think you remember some time back, we let the church know that there's a little boy that's in need of special prayer. And we're happy that he is here. He's coming up with his dad. And they're going to share a little bit of what God has done for them.
You. Well, this is Xander. If you haven't met him, I'm going to ask the studio to put some slides up. Just have a few prepared here. You want to say hi?
Hi.
This is Xander. This is the little miracle man that you guys have all been praying for. This picture up here was taken just a week before our life fell apart. And nothing can prepare you for things out of your control, especially for a little one that you love so much to be nearly taken from. You can go ahead and change the slide there. Just keep changing them every few seconds. We didn't know that that was going to be our home for the next almost 2 months and 3 months at another hospital for a total of 3 months. But there's not much that can prepare you for that, to come in and see your little boy totally on death's door. But what else is amazing is nothing can prepare you for is the amount of faith that you don't even know you have. And it's through the prayers of all of you who've been praying and other churches literally around the world that this little man is standing before you today and walking and riding his bicycle. During that experience, God provided a doctor who is a Christian, Dr. Falco. He prayed with us. He shared scripture with us. And he was the initial lifting of our spirits. And through that whole time, we saw God's hand working and bringing miracle after miracle of this little man coming from literally a heart attack where he coded to here he is with his classmates. They all came down and visited him in the hospital. There's Dr. Falco, the one who prayed with us. That's the day that we left the hospital and transitioned over to UC Davis. And so through the whole experience of receiving text messages and Facebook messages and emails from people in New Zealand and Africa and Germany and the Netherlands, literally around the world, people we've never heard of who have seen this little guy, and there we are leaving the hospital. You can see he's very happy. And have you seen God working?
Yes.
What is it you wanted to say to this wonderful church family who's been praying for you?
Thank you.
And Amen. I want to say thank you on behalf of my wife and our other children as well. Thank you for your prayers, for lifting us up, and for letting the Lord do miraculous things through you and through our little man here. So his prayer is that his calling from a little boy is to be a doctor, a medical mission doctor. And there he is climbing the rock wall at Pine Hills Academy. I think that's our last slide. So you can see from death's door to climbing the heights of heaven there. So thank you.
Amen. I remember through these experiences, there's times that even though pastors have done this before, you think, Lord, wow, this is going to take quite a miracle. And God has done so many wonderful things. We have so much to rejoice for. God answers prayer. Amen. And he does that not because we're good, but because he is good. And he's a God of love. I'd like to invite our deacons to now come forward. The Apostle Paul said these words, "For I received from the Lord that which also I delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" He also, Jesus, took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant or promise in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us, and what else? Cleanse us from all unrighteousness. While by faith we have entered into the presence of God today, we have confessed our sins, we have trusted in Jesus, his sacrifice, so we can claim that promise. Amen? Amen. Though your sins be as scarlet, through Jesus Christ, his sacrifice, they can be as white as snow. Now that's something to sing about. That's something to rejoice about. What a wonderful gift. The gift of cleansing, the gift of his grace. Before we have our closing prayer this morning or this afternoon, I'd like to remind you that there will be a special offering collected as you leave. Our deacons will be at the door. And as mentioned earlier, if you came a little late, back in 2015, our church was involved in a special mission trip down to Mexico, where we helped build a church and we helped minister to the community. A fire recently went through there just a week or so ago, and it burnt just about everything in that area. But miraculously, God's hand was over the little church. The fire jumped right over the church, burnt everything around it. But the little church there has kind of become a hub of ministry, reaching out to those in the community. And we thought, well, you know, let's do what we can to help support the church down there in their special outreach, seeing that we committed and we've already been involved with them. So the offering that's collected at the door on our way out is going to go to help that mission project down in Mexico. And then just one other final thing, I want you to, in a special way, remember Elisa Mack in your prayers. We had some testimonies this morning of wonderful answered prayer, but we got a message this morning that very unexpectedly, she is in the hospital, she had a seizure, and they're going to be looking at some rather urgent brain surgery coming up in the next few days. So we said we will definitely remember her and her family as well in our prayer. So let's bow our heads. Dear Father in heaven, we thank you for the many blessings that you bestowed upon us. We thank you that you're a God that hears and answers prayer. We can see you answering wonderful prayers in the lives of our church members, as we had the testimonies today. And Father, we also want to ask a special blessing upon those involved in our mission trip down in Mexico, and just the relationships and the lives that we were able to impact with the group that went down. And as we receive these offerings, we pray that it would go a long way to help those poor individuals down there who are in desperate need, who have lost everything, and that through this tragedy that they might also learn more about you and come to trust in you more as well. And then, Father, we also want to lift up a church member of mine, of ours. We want to remember Lisa in a very special way. We pray that you'd be with her and her family. And Lord, we know all things are possible. We're a praying church. We're a believing church. We know that with you, all things can be done according to your will. And so we want to ask your special blessing upon her and the medical team that will be working with her and her family. And thank you, Lord, that you're there in every situation and trial and difficulty. You're an ever-present help in trouble. And thank you, Lord, for just the reminder today of your great love and the sacrifice that was made for our salvation. We commit ourselves in your keeping. In Jesus' name, amen. Please be seated. Again, just a reminder that we won't be having Tuesday evening Bible study here because of Thanksgiving. And there won't be a woman's Bible study taking place on Thursday because that is Thanksgiving. But we look forward to seeing you all back here next Sabbath. God bless. Have a wonderful week and a very special Thanksgiving.